Bibles this morning and turn with me to the 23rd chapter of Matthew. I'd like to read a few passages of scriptures found there. These are the teachings of Jesus Christ. And, you know, as I was given these passages of scripture, I think it kind of corresponds with several events that have transpired in the last several days. I don't believe in necessarily situational preaching. But these passages have been on my heart, and I can't get away from them. So all of the teaching of Jesus Christ needs to be preached. Jesus clearly gave us the true characteristics of Christianity. Christianity must correspond with the teachings of Jesus Christ, or it is not Christianity. Now, I realize that there are people that don't believe that, but I'm of the opinion that comprehensively and unconditionally, true religion holds to the teachings and the principles and the precepts found in sacred Scripture.
Amen.
Now, there are many common religions out there, and there's a lot of them that clash with the sayings and words of Jesus. But may it never be among us. All that we believe, all that we hold to, should correspond with the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, if you believe something that does not correspond with the teachings of Jesus Christ, you are wrong and Christ is right.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. I don't care what organization you represent. I don't care what kind of religious status you have. I don't care what doctorate degree you hold. If it does not correspond with the teachings of Jesus Christ, it is not Christianity.
Amen.
You know, all through the Bible, we are warned of wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, Paul told the people at Ephesus in the 20th chapter of Acts, he warned them, he said, "After my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." All through the Scriptures, we are warned of those that teach deceitful works, like we read about in 2 Corinthians 11 and 13. Paul in the book of Philippians, I believe it's chapter 3 or chapter 2, he told them, with regard to religious teachers that do not teach the principles of Jesus Christ, he said, "Beware of dogs." Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? I'm afraid we have a lot of people today that are not reading their Bibles. I mean, in the book of Acts, two of the letters of the Apostle Paul, many of the letters of the Apostle Paul, and then the teachings and preachings of Jesus Christ are clearly defined for us and clearly described for us a Christianity that surfaces that doesn't correspond with Christ. If all of those things are in the Bible, why do people get so upset when other religions are preached against? Why? If Jesus did it, did Jesus do it? In the 23rd chapter of Matthew, there are 8 woes against the religious leaders of his day. Jesus condemned the religious leaders of his day because they were claiming to be associated with God, but were not teaching God's doctrines. They were teaching rather the traditions and the doctrines of men. The church was warned that there would be a siege. There would be a takeover. That there would be those that would try to come among us and try to deceive us and overthrow us and overtake Christianity with doctrines that were not of Christ. We're warned, aren't we? We must constantly keep up our guard. We must guard against the snipers. We must guard against those that come in among us who are traitors. Well, there are spies. Don't raise your hand if you're a spy. Lord only knows who you are. But we must be cautious. And I don't know how I got off on that, but I think it's clearly taught that there's a certain way that the church must present itself, or it doesn't reflect the principles of Jesus Christ. Pure and simple. Now, I realize that's pretty strong. And I don't mean to be, I don't mean to be a hard-nosed preacher. I want everybody to like me. I want everybody to like us here at Victory Church. But we cannot forsake the integrity of Christ for the compliments of men. Amen. Can't do it. Refuse to do it. I want to read these scriptures. And I want you to listen very closely and very carefully to what Jesus says regarding true Christianity. Now, there's some things that we must always be on guard about, even among ourselves. We must be constantly concerned about pride entering in among us. What Jesus teaches here in the 23rd chapter of Matthew is that there's no one among us who receives the preeminence but Jesus Christ Himself. Now, that's very important. You know, Paul said there's not many mighty and not many noble that are called. And I may read those passages in just a moment. But I want to begin reading in verse 1. Listen very carefully. Jesus makes it real clear concerning some of these things. First of all, he says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to the disciples." Now notice, he is not just talking to the church. He's talking to the multitudes. He's talking to the world. I believe there's a world out there that needs to hear that there's a true church that Jesus set up. That has doctrines that are founded upon not men, but upon God. I believe that we are that church of Jesus Christ. If I didn't, I would go somewhere else. Pure and simple. I believe the doctrines that we hold to are the doctrines and teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus was speaking not just to His disciples, not just to His church. He was speaking to the masses, to the multitudes. Notice here, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, these are the religious leaders of the day. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now, first of all, I want us to note the sin of inconsistency. They say and do not. Jesus taught us clearly that our yeas are to be yeas and our nays are to be nays. That we're not just to be hearers of the word, but we are to be doers of the word. I am a preacher that tries to tell you from Sunday to Sunday that we need to practice what we preach. That what we profess to be, we need to follow up with that and live that kind of life that we profess to be. Now, we're not perfect. Christians are not perfect. Saved people aren't perfect people. But there should be in us a desire to please Christ, to please God and to serve God. And many times when they look at us, they ought to see some consistency with that profession. That we are trying to serve God and we're trying to please God. Now, one of the things that we find here is a lot of pompous. We find a lot of pride. And yet we do not have a consistency with a way of life that is conformed to what they say they are. Perhaps there's been no greater damage done to the cause of Christ than those that say but do not. They say one thing, they tell you one thing, but they don't do it themselves. I believe in the church of Jesus Christ that we need to be good examples. Paul taught us that we are to be examples to the flock. We are all to be examples. All of us should be at least in our Christian walk. If you have any maturity about you whatsoever, you should be a good example. A good example. In other words, you can look back over your shoulder and see people following you. Something that's worthy of being followed. They say and do not. There's a lot of inconsistency in religion today. A lot of these that were in that particular day, they were full of pride. And we'll get to that in just a few moments. But you heard about the deacon that got the most humble deacon of the year. Did you guys hear about that? Yeah, they gave him a medal. This beautiful, one Sunday morning, they gave the deacon, this one particular deacon of the church, a medal. And it was given to the most humble deacon of the church. Only problem is next Sunday he got it taken away from him. The pastor took it away from him because he wore it. Actually, that was supposed to be the most humble pastor, but I changed it. There needs to be a sense of humility about us. I believe that when we fail, we need to acknowledge our failures. I believe we need to be transparent. I believe we need to be real. We're a people that deal with sin and issues of life. We're not just putting on a show. Let's be real with the things of God. Amen. These spiritual things that we're involved in, they're genuine, they're real. This God that we serve, He's real. And He works in our hearts and He works in our lives. Best thing that you can do with your children is not put on a phony Christianity in their presence, but just be real about the things of God in their midst. That will have a greater impact upon your children than anything else. Be sincere, be real, be genuine with the things that you do. Don't say and do not. Parents, let me say again, let me make this suggestion. More things are caught than taught. Don't tell them one thing and do something else. Don't try to give them some kind of instruction about how to live their life if you're not going to live that life yourself. You won't have an impact. They won't listen to what you say. They'll watch what you do. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people that are just simply not doing what they say. The first sin we notice in this 23rd chapter, and I'll move on, is the sin of inconsistency. They say and do not. Let me read on. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. And lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. All right, this fascination with human praise. To be seen of men. Let me warn you of something. If the devil can't get you to fail, he'll help you succeed. Few people can handle the glory of men's praise. And we need to be very careful that we don't become lifted up with pride through the glory of human praise. This fascination with human praise is something I want to warn you about. Pride is a sin that must be cast from us. We must be constantly aware that we could be overtaken with the fault of ambition through the desire of human praise. It's just like riches. I've seen few men and few women that could really handle wealth and handle it to the glory of God. I've seen few people that could handle praise, the praise of men, to the glory of God. I think that's why Paul, when he was writing in the book of Corinthians, and let's turn there just hurriedly, when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said this, he said in verse 26, notice there, he said, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty." The base things of the world. Notice here, the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yes, the things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's be careful that we do not seek to have some human praise. What is Jesus leading to in the teachings here concerning the church? I believe it's real clear that we are not to exalt one another. We're only to exalt Christ. We're to lift up Jesus. That there's no big I's and little U's in the church. You know, I sat down with a man here a while back from Nevada. And he was questioning. I mean, he had a lot of questions concerning our practice and what we believe. His name was Patrick. And I was sitting there with Patrick, and he said, I don't understand. He said, you know, who's in charge? Who's at the head of your organization? I said, well, Jesus. He said, where's your headquarters? I said, well, in heaven. Amen. He said, I don't understand. He said, all of your churches, they're scattered all over the place, and they don't seem to have any kind of general consistency. I said, well, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, but we each one individually answer to the Lord. Amen. That the Lord Jesus is head of each local independent body. Amen. That what we do here at Victory Church, we will answer to the Lord for. What they do down the street, they'll answer to the Lord for. We're not accountable for them. They're not accountable for us. Amen. Amen. He finally said, well, I think I understand. He said, but how do you get, he was concerned about, you know, ministers going from church to church. I said, it's easy. He said, well, you know, who's in charge of that? Who appoints them? Who places them? You know, where's your committee? Where's your board? Where's your directors? How does this work? I said, it's easy. The Holy Ghost directs us. And he looked at me funny. I said, yeah. I said, the Holy Ghost speaks to the church and the Holy Ghost speaks to the man. And they hooked up. Amen. Just that simple. I said, it's not that hard. Amen. I said, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. He's involved in His church. He's involved in what we do. He has sent the Holy Ghost to lead us, to guide us, and direct us. Amen. And when He has a problem with us, He sends His Holy Spirit and the message comes to us from God and we fix the problem in among us. Not among the whole denominational system. In other words, every missionary Baptist church could go bonkers tomorrow, but we could stay true. Amen. Amen. I don't know what bonker, I don't know where that came from. Equality. Notice here, I want to read this last part. He says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make, listen carefully to what he says here. Now he talks about their display. He talks about their flackeries, the broad their flackeries, and enlarge the borders of their garments. Let me say this. You'll never see me preaching in a robe. It's not going to happen. When I go to the hospital, I'm not going to wear one of those little collars with a white thing on my Adam's apple, all right? Man, if you don't know me to be a minister and a man of God by the way I live my life, then I don't deserve the title. Put on a show. We're common men. Amen. All of us have a common salvation. I got saved the same way you got saved. And my friend, I'm no greater than you. Each one of us receive a calling from the Lord, and we are to pursue our personal high calling from God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Your high calling is the high calling. Amen. You'll give an account for what God has called upon you to do. I'll give an account for what God has called upon me to do. I was thinking as we were singing in that song, I Can Make It. 26 years ago, I was wrestling with my call to the ministry. Actually, it was in this month when I was wrestling with that. And I was singing in a gospel group at the time. And, And they decided to start singing. They started singing that song, I Can Make It. And that second verse kept tearing me up on the inside. And I would start weeping every time we would sing it. But whatever God calls upon you to do, He will give you the enabling grace to do it. Amen. But you're never to make a show of it. Never. Never, ever, ever. We have one teacher, and that's Jesus. We have, you know, I'm not much of a teacher. I'm an usher to the teacher. Yeah, I'm just an usher in the schoolhouse. I think that's what really what pastors are. We try, because I don't want you to believe it because I preached it. I want you to believe it because it is the truth of God. Amen. I'm not trying to make a Baptist out of you. Don't become a Baptist unless the Holy Ghost lays hold upon your heart and tells you to be a Baptist. Amen. Do it because it is the Word of God, the truth of God, and the will of God for your life. If a man can make you become something, then another man can come along and make you become something else. But when God, when God does it, that's a whole different thing, isn't it? Yeah. All right, they make this big show, this big pompous display. I don't believe that should exist in the church. Our Savior was meek and lowly. He did not have some special halo around His head as He walked among men. There wasn't some kind of pompous display but He simply taught the truth of the Father. He mingled and mixed with publicans and sinners. He declared Himself to be the Son of God and proved it with miracles and wonders. He had the Spirit of the Lord upon Him, and it anointed Him to preach the gospel and to bind up the wounds of those that were diseased and heal those that were sick. People, listen, Jesus Christ was a man. Amen. When Pilate said, "Behold the man," He was a man, 100% man. And yet at the same time, 100% God. Amen. I don't believe in the Church of Jesus Christ there should ever be. I've been to Jerusalem. I've seen them with the little boxes on their foreheads with the first four paragraphs of the law, strapped to their forehead. And I've seen them at the Wailing Wall making a big display and rocking and things of that nature. I believe when we pray, we ought to go to our closets and pray. I don't think we should make some big, big display religiously. I think we ought to be real. Amen? Amen. It ought to be genuine. Now, if the Lord lays hold upon you and you need to testify in public of things of that nature, we know how to follow the Lord. But to put on a front, to make a religious display, is not from Christ. Amen. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. Let me read all this, and I'm going to try to close here. Listen, if you're seeking honor and fame among us, you need to go somewhere else. All right? It should never happen in Jesus Christ, in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are here to glorify, to magnify the Lord. I want to say this. All of us have from time to time had people to fail us. There have been disappointments among us. If you have any age in you, in the work of Christ, you've had some spiritual disappointments. Let me make you mindful of something, though. Our loyalty is not to man. We're not worshiping man. We're not exalting man. We are not serving man. Our loyalty is solely to Jesus Christ. We are worshiping Him. We are exalting Him. We're glorifying His name. We are serving Him and not man. It's a dangerous thing to rob God of His glory. In any shape, form, or fashion. There are people that love the uppermost. They love that prestige. They love that being exalted. They feed on it. The chief seats in the synagogue, that religious display of being special. Let us know. He says, and greeting in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. Notice here the equality of brethren. We are brethren. We are all sons, and you're no more than a son. Amen. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're no more than a son or a daughter. No, you're not more than that. We're all made the children of God by faith, Paul said in Galatians. Actually, in the book of Galatians, if you'll turn there, and we've been studying the book of Galatians on Wednesday nights, and I invite you to come to those studies. We're having a good time with this. We've been studying the fruits of the Spirit, and there's some wonderful things that are found in the book of Galatians, and I assure you, you'll be blessed if you'll come and join in with us. But he said in chapter 3, verse 28, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Listen, God expects just as much out of you as He does of me. That's a good one for a congregation to grasp. Isn't it? He expects just as much out of you as He does me. He says in this passage that we are all one in Christ. We are all equal in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. Doesn't matter if you're a rich man or a poor man. Doesn't matter if you're a slave owner or a slave. It doesn't matter, he says here, whether you're Jew or Greek. No matter what race you're from, what nationality you're from, or what your religious affiliation is, we're all one in Jesus Christ. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're a son or a daughter. No more, no less. This equality, I think, is very important. Jesus taught us a little earlier, and I'm trying to close, but look in the 20th chapter. There he was teaching that it should never be among us where there's some where we're exalting one another, or there's special seating among us, or listen, we don't have reserved seating at church. Amen. It's at first come, first serve. Amen. This is what we call a public place. Amen. Amen? And you come in and you find a seat. If you want one of these, that's fine too. Yeah, this is the Lord's house. Amen? Amen. It's not our house. These aren't our seats. This is the house of God. Amen. And the only one that has special seating here is Jesus Christ. Amen. But he told us in these particular passages, the 20th chapter, and I don't have a lot of time to stay here, but the mother of Zebedee's children had inquired. James and John were her children, and she wanted some special seating arrangement in the kingdom of Christ. She said, grant that these two my sons may sit, this is verse 21, sit the one on the right hand, the other on the left in thy kingdom. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? Discipleship requires a cross. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. Every morning we ought to get up and pick up the cross, amen, and follow the Lord. Of course, he was talking about his death, the cup. You know, there are many troubles and trials that we go through. I'm glad they're just cups. I had this thought. I'm glad it's not an ocean, amen? Yeah. He says, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? Now, he was talking about his death. I'm glad it was just a baptizing, a dipping, and not a drowning. I'm glad there's a bottom in that cup. And we may have to drink a cup, but there's a bottom to it. Those of us have been saved. Amen. There's coming a day when there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more trouble. All these former things shall pass away. But you may be called upon to drink a special cup. And he was talking about his death. He was asking if they were able. Let me move on down here. He said this. He says, but to sit on my right hand, on my left, it is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of the Father. Now he goes on here and he teaches this. He says, and when the 10 heard it, most indignation. Here's the other 10. They got jealous. And I've been teaching this on Wednesday nights, that that the envy and jealousy many times in churches stems from one person wanting to be exalted above another person. You notice, you read the New Testament, most of the disputing and the problems that happened among the disciples came as a result of one wanting to be exalted higher than the rest. People, this should never be in the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, Paul taught about the body, and I'm losing my voice, so I'm going to get to end quick. But Paul clearly taught us that in the body, that those more feeble members are important to us. Amen. Let us never lose that concept. Amen. Let us never lose sight of what the church really is. But anyway, he said that these things happen among the Gentiles. He says, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it, notice verse 26, it shall not be so among you. May it never be among us. All right, I want to finish reading the 23rd chapter, portions of the 23rd chapter, and I'm going to close. Equality of the believers. All you are brethren. Notice there, verse 8. We only have one master. We have one teacher. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Listen, we have one Father. I'm going to finish this reading. I know you guys, because I believe what Jesus taught us to do, and it should always be done. And call no man your father upon the earth. Now, naturally, he's not having reference to our natural biological father. He said in the 12th chapter of Hebrews that we are to acknowledge our earth. And it says they're earthly fathers. We are to give them reverence. We're to respect them. Amen? We're to respect our earthly fathers. It's okay to call your earthly father a father. But he's talking about concerning the spirit of Christianity, the spirit of religion, and the things of God. We should never refer to any man as our father, but God alone. Amen. Notice here. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is great among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. May humility always prevail in the church of Jesus Christ. May we never embellish glory and honor, because there's only one among us that receives glory and honor, and that's Jesus. Call no man your father. It's wrong to call any man, and any man that refers to himself as a religious father is not of Christ. It's right there. It's in the book. Amen? That's not my opinion. That's the Word of God. That's the words, the direct words of Jesus Himself. Amen? It's in there. You read it for yourself. God bless you is my prayer.